Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
There's no way I'm washing my hands the way that they are telling you to. When I watch these videos that people put up there on Facebook or social media, there's no way. There's just no way. I can do it one time, and then the next time I forget about it, and there's no way I'm spending that much time washing my hands.
I try to spend a good 20 seconds. It's really not that long, Lima.
It's not.
20 seconds.
And what did you used to spend?
About 18. 20 seconds.
There's no way.
18 to 20 seconds.
20 seconds is not that long.
It's
There's
really not.
No way any of you were spending close to 20 seconds on your hands before this.
Let me get to Aditi Kinkabwala on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. She's of the NFL Network. Aditi, before all this happened, did you make sure to spend 20 seconds washing your hands every time you washed your hands?
I don't know if it was a full 20, but I was pretty good at lathering everything up, and I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you also why the whole blacklight idea is horrible. I saw something on the Today Show a few years ago where they actually did an analysis of what was on somebody's hands, like after touching the railing on the subway and walking down an escalator and touching an elevator button. It was disgusting. The stuff that is out there that we touch was so gross. That since then, yes, I am a good hand washer. Although now I have like no skin left on my hands. I'm that thorough a hand washer.
You got to moisturize, Aditi. You got to moisturize.
Oh, I am. Oh, I am. And it's just not doing it. Let me tell you. If you've got a product out there, or if any of your listeners feel like sending me an exceptional product, I would be happy to test something out. But I have probably run through everything out there.
But is
it raw?
Isn't the problem, though, that now because we have our phones affixed to us at all times, in fact, I'm doing an entire radio show holding my phone, which is disgusting to think about. Every story they give you is that phones are actually worse than your toilet seat. And it's like,
but
that's great.
Don't you wipe down your phone? I mean, I make sure to wipe down my phone multiple times a day. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it wasn't always.
My baby's always trying to put it in her mouth. Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's a good habit. You know, it'll be interesting now when we come out of this. How much people talk about how much we change. Like yesterday, we did this video conference with John Harbaugh, and he was saying it was the Ravens brass, and he was saying, you know, he hopes when we come out of this, there are certain things that do change in terms of lifestyle and, you know, the ease of working from home and things like that. But it does make you wonder, like, will we be cleaner? Will we be lesser polluters? I mean, have you seen pictures from over in Asia of how the sky is suddenly so much clearer than it was just 3 weeks ago?
Did you see the dolphins swimming up to the side of buildings in Italy?
I mean,
they said they haven't seen dolphins in years over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like amazing what how the planet is responding to our dialing things back a bit. So, not to be making a political statement here, it'll be very interesting to see what changes and what doesn't.
And the planet's going to be for a rude awakening, as will those dolphins in about a month when we get back to normal.
Will it really be a month? I was just actually listening to Major League Baseball talking about can they come back next month, and it's just I don't get it. Like, okay, I get you can social distance in the dugout or non-dugout, but what happens when a guy wants to slide?
He slides.
But then they're not socially distant.
Aditi, I want to know what happens when those baseball players decide while they're essentially in a commune under a bubble and they can't leave their room. What happens when they want to slide into somebody's DMs and get off the compound? What happens then? Is anybody really thinking these baseball players are going to do this for 4.5 months away from their family and just staying in a hotel room?
And with no fans, right? Because, I mean, was it LeBron who said there's no way he's playing in a silent arena, in an empty arena.
And that was, you know, he said that about 4 weeks ago. I'll give him a little leeway. That wasn't the smartest thing to say then, but now, I mean, you can't say that at all, or then it just means you're not coming back.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I would much rather, now obviously from everything that I'm hearing or reading is that, okay, we will hopefully flatten this curve, we'll see a drop, we'll get back to life, and then there'll be a little bit of a spike because we've gotten back to life, and then hopefully it goes away. I mean, I think we're just in much, much, much better shape if we can all feel healthy and safe as opposed to rushing.
Aditi, can we talk about the virtual draft? Yeah. All the teams in the league got the memo yesterday that they're going to have a virtual draft. We're hearing from GMs, some coaches, from office members that they're going to have the IT guys working hour after hour to try to figure this out. How will that look? And is the NFL prepared for what could be some disastrous moments of this draft?
Okay, so I'm totally agree with you that the technological part of this is absolutely vital. I mean, think about how many times we're on the phone and a call drops or something gets scratchy or you lose a connection. There's that piece of it. Then there's also the security piece of it. I mean, how secure are all of these connections going to be? And I'll mention John Harbaugh again. Yesterday, he was joking about that with Zoom. Like, does he know that nobody can actually hack into the draft meetings that he has via Zoom or the prospect meetings he has? So that's definitely a piece that will have to be sorted out, the timing of it, the what if somebody drops a connection and you know it's a legitimate dropping of a connection and not just a fake dropping of a connection to buy a little time to make a trade. All of that for sure. Now, as for how it looks, I am adamant that I am desperately, all of those adjectives, whatever, I do not want green screens. I really want to see everybody's health. If Mike Mayock is sitting in his garage and doing this, I want to see that. If John Gruden is in his man cave, if whatever, if Kevin Stefanski is sitting by the pool, I just think it would be awesome to see where people are doing this. And if a kid or a dog happens to run across the screen, all the better.
But you got upset with me about the whole having Roger Goodell's family boo him when he walks out there to the It's a joke. He enjoys it.
Have you asked him that? Have you asked him if he really
does? Does it really hurt his feelings? He's got 44 million reasons why it wouldn't hurt his feelings. Good God.
You know what? Do you think that rich people don't have feelings?
I think that money helps them not have feelings, yes.
Well, I don't have that kind of money, so I can't say. But I would like to think that...
I don't either. That's why I have to assume that it would make them feel better. Because if I made $44 million a year, I tell you what, I'd probably be a lot different person than I am now. But I have empathy.
You know what, I make more money now than I did as a 22-year-old newspaper writer in San Antonio, Texas, and I still have feelings.
Do you? Not like you used to.
You've
sold out a bit.
What does that mean?
You've sold out a bit. You know, we don't need to talk about that. Diddy King of Wallace.
Anthony, we're never going to get through one of these without Carmen insulting me, right?
It's my favorite part.
That's just par for the course.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not an insult. It's not an insult when it's telling the truth. Aditi Kinkabwala on the show.
Oh, doubling down.
At A. Kinkabwala on Twitter. Make sure to tweet at her and make sure you send those comments. Anyway, do you think...
Are we talking about Clowney?
How much do the Browns need to pay Jadeveon Clowney? Because it was tweeted or texted us yesterday that... Hey, like he might take a little bit of a pay cut there, but for some of these teams, but you're going to have to overpay him if you want him in Cleveland. Should the Browns really want Jadeveon Clowney that badly?
Okay, so I just talked to somebody yesterday who said a lot of the holdup has to do with the physicals and checking on his injury base, you know, like whether you're going to trust somebody else to do a physical for you. Now, some teams are. Eric Ebron, the tight end that just signed with the Steelers, he had a physical with some doctor in Houston, and the Steelers decided to trust that, even though Ebron is coming off of surgery and hasn't played. So, okay, take that for what it's worth. Some teams will trust it, others won't. But I was also told that Clowney is totally willing to bring down his price, or has brought down his price, that he was looking for something upwards of $20 million. Now he's maybe as much as $4 million below that. But I do know the Seahawks are putting a hard press on him. I mean, even Russell Wilson has been lobbying. I don't think that he's in any sort of rush. I think he sees that, okay, well, the season isn't happening anytime soon, so I don't necessarily need to commit to anything right away. And again, we've talked about him before in this way, that this isn't a guy that's all about oh my God, I'm eating, breathing, dying, living football, and I need my playbook ASAP, and let's make a decision and get started. I mean, that's just not his nature. So I don't think that the Browns, whereas the Browns may have had to pay a premium in the past, I don't think that that's the Browns now. Just not just with the collection of talent that's there.
Okay. All right, Aditi, Ken and I, huge argument earlier about whether or not the Browns are a playoff team right now. What do you think?
I mean, roster-wise, sure. I don't know the first thing about what they're going to be running or how their players are going to respond to their coaches or how they'll practice or who will show up. But in terms of talent, is this a playoff-caliber group of talent, playoff-caliber collection of talent? Yes. Yes,
sure.
I have no
problem. They were last year and won six games, so I have to throw that out the window.
Exactly, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't mean much, you know? Like, and again, we've seen the New England Patriots win the Super Bowl with lesser talent than multiple teams in the NFL. I mean, over and over, I'd argue that there was a five-year stretch where the Pittsburgh Steelers had more talent than anybody else, and they had nothing to show for it. They had three playoff wins to show for it.
But I still looked at the only argument I was making, Aditi. I wasn't making the Aditi on, well, they got great leadership and they should be able to do it. Like, yeah, the Ravens and the Steelers are in much better positions because they have that experience and they do have forms of leadership. And the Browns don't. But my whole argument was, okay, if they didn't think that they were a playoff team, we wouldn't be going out and getting Austin Hooper, and we wouldn't be going out and getting Jack Conklin. Maybe we'd still get Jack Conklin, but we wouldn't still be going out and getting Austin Hooper. I don't think they'd be doing
that. Okay, so here's a good team, a smart team, always operates in the same way. If you are 14-2 and coming off an appearance in the Super Bowl, you are ideally drafting the exact same way as if you are 6-9 and miss the playoffs, in the sense that, wait a minute, that doesn't add up. 6-10, if you're 6-10 and coming off missing the playoffs, the idea being that you are always trying to improve your team in the same philosophy that you carry throughout whatever it is that you do. So if the Browns are committed to always being better, then you're going to go out there and try to get the best players available to you that you can afford. The difference being maybe you pay a tiny bit more if you think you're just one piece away, but I don't think the Browns believe they're one piece away. I think they believe they're a few pieces away, and those are the pieces that they're trying to accumulate right now. I mean, I don't have a problem with this. What is wrong with going out and trying to get the best talent on the market that you can in a way that you can afford it? I mean, what's the downside to that?
There's not. You're right about that. But I just feel they wouldn't. What?
Wow.
I think you make great points.
Can we make a recording of that? You're
what?
Right. You're
I agree
right.
with
can
you.
Can we do that, Owen? Can
I
we, like, and every
frequently.
Time I come on, we can hear Ken Carmen saying, you're right.
Yeah, and then you can download the podcast, Aditi, and go listen to it later all you want.
If you don't have the radio.com app, you're dead to me, lady. You hear me?
I just want that turned into whatever the radio version of a GIF is so that I have the you're right.
Well, you got Kenny Kidd on the other side, so you can guarantee that will happen. So we have to go now, Aditi. We thank you so much for the time, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
You always have to go so quickly. Really? Like, where are you going? You're not supposed to be going anywhere.
It's a hard break.
Haven't you been listening to Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, I've been listening to him.
Okay, so when you say you have to go, you're not supposed to go anywhere.
Well, actually,
no,
I was going to go wash my hands.
The problem was Ken was listening to Dr. Drew 2 weeks ago.
No, I was. Don't you say that. No, I wasn't.
Do you have masks? Do you gentlemen have masks?
I do. We talked about it. Yes.
Okay, great.
I actually have a gas mask.
I know how to make them out of bandanas, and I'll be happy to send you in a tutorial on how to make them.
I have a full-on gas mask, Aditi. And it's not for smoking weed. It's a real gas mask.
Oh, not like that Laramie Tunsil thing.
Aditi, we thank you.
Have a wonderful day, gentlemen. I'll talk to you later.
Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Lime, any parting words before we go to the break?
Got to get those masks ready to go.
Thank you very much. Coming up next, I actually made an all-decade team. Lima had his pretty half-assed and probably doesn't have his done. But we give him to you next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.